Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday night edition of Into the Night with Sean Kelly. So there was a little bit of a mix-up on Sundays to where I could not look at the chat room. I had to use my phone. And I do apologize. I did see the remarks. I all saw the messages later on in the evening when everything, you know, got up to date. So I do apologize that I could not have, return your messages. And they were wonderful and beautiful messages. And I truly appreciate all the help, all the good, good vibes. There were a bunch of good vibes, and I truly appreciate it. Well, my show is on UPRN Talk Radio 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight. Without Carnation, I probably wouldn't be on here tonight. So, and I do again want to thank UPRN Talk Radio for allowing me to spend 1 hour with you guys on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights. And so what a day, huh? What a day. And as you could tell, you know, if you remember on Sunday that, you know, there's some stuff that I'm going through medically. And but we got that all covered, you know, and I'm okay with it. It's crazy, you know, because you owe me, you know. What's crazy about the whole thing is that I'm okay with all this. You know, I'm not nervous, and you know, I just like put it in God's hands. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You know, so we'll see where we go from there. Hey, Michael Anthony, good to see you, my friend. How are you? Good to see you. Thank you for popping in tonight. Michael Anthony, a very good friend of mine, dear friend of mine. I couldn't ask for a better friend. And I'm truly, you know, blessed and honored to have him as a good friend. And all the other people out there, too, who have, you know, listened to my show religiously. You know, I truly appreciate that very much. But you know what? Back to where I was getting at, you know, the old Sean, Brian McHenry. Oh, Brian, long story, buddy. I will message you. I'll be messaging you about it. You know, and don't worry, I'll get to you, brother. Hey, Joe Fox, good to see you, my friend. Good to see you, pal. See, it's just good people. And again, Brian, I promise you I'll get back to you. I will. Just hang around. I'll send you a message after the show tonight. So stay by your phone. So tonight, you know, Sunday night, we talked about the Titanic and its voyage and hitting the iceberg and all kinds of crap going on with that, you know. But there seemed to be some big mysteries going on with that, you know. And it just is just like crazy, and it's like totally, even back in the early 1900s, they were pulling some shady stuff, you know. And so I talked about, you know, how, you know, the ship sunk, and about the iceberg, and about the different things that happened during the voyage. But what I didn't get to, that there are a lot of circumstances, you know, around the sinking of the ship, okay? And so what I'm going to do is, I got my second part of my notes here to share with you guys to do that, and we're going to go from there. If you want to go into the message, you know, up into where the messages are at, if you could, if you have your own thoughts about the Titanic, feel free to share it, and then I will put it out and what you have to say about it. But there are circumstances, especially around the death of the captain, okay? And So, more than 100 years after she sank while crossing the Atlantic on her maiden voyage, the RMS Titanic is still widely regarded as the most famous ship in history. Okay. The luxury ocean liner, owned and operated by a British company, White Star Line, tragically sank in the early hours of April 15, 1912, after a collision with an iceberg, killing an estimate of 1,517 of the 2,224 people on board. Her remains now lie on the seafloor about 350 nautical miles off the coast of Newfoundland, Canada. Although the delicate wreck is deteriorating so rapidly underwater that it could disappear completely within the next 40 years. Although many theories surrounding the circumstances of the sinking verge into conspiracy. Okay, and here are some 5 bona fide Titanic mysteries, some of which may like blow your mind. Okay, so one of them. So, conspiracy back then in 1912. I know the one, they claim that J.P. Morgan made a lot of money off that. Yeah, it was. Brian said, watch the short documentary, showed all shoes, crazy. Yeah, and a bunch of other stuff. I know it was down at the Carnegie Museum here in Pittsburgh, And there's a little story about that. There are some people that are in the paranormal field that went down and actually looked, went to that, you know, that all those things that they were doing. And I can't come up with the words. And so they had a lot of paranormal experiences down there when it came into Pittsburgh, the display. And they talked about it with me. And I can see it, you know, all that stuff that was on the Titanic that was displayed. Hey, Roy White, good to see you, buddy. Thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate that, sir. But they claimed, and these are like people I do trust, and I hardly ever trust anybody that much. But what they told me was that they felt a lot of spirits there down there at the Carnegie Museum whenever they went to see this, all the artifacts from the Titanic. And some actually saw shadows, and they kind of like kicked themselves in the butt because they did not have their equipment with them. They were history buffs and they just wanted to go see it. But, you know, they were a little upset that they didn't have their equipment, because if they did, they would be doing some EVPs, you know. And like they said, it was a paranormal investigator's freaking holy grail is what he called it. And that was like, yeah, never made it down there, you know, because at the time I really wasn't interested in stuff like that. Not the paranormal. Of course I wasn't in with the paranormal. But it's like I wasn't interested at all. And like I told you on Sunday, you know, how I came up with the Titanic, it just like popped into my head. And I didn't read no books, didn't watch no documentaries, none of that crap. It just popped into my head and it stayed in my head for half a day. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a reason for me to talk about the Titanic. And so here I am talking about it, you know. It's crazy. I don't know about you guys out there, but I know that when spirit, I guess, yeah, when spirit, you know, or you hear in the back of your head about a certain thing, like the Titanic. In fact, most of my shows that you have listened to always came, you know, to my head. I didn't go out and try to pick these things. You know, it was like, okay, let's talk about this on the show. So I don't know if that happened to anybody else out there where something just pops into their mind and you got to go with it. You got to go for it. So And I said, sure, why not? I said, sure, to myself, I'd do something on it. But yeah, so if anybody else had any type of things that has happened to them where they think of something and you automatically go do it without, you know, without any questions at all. Roy, how's the thing going? How's the farm going on, brother? Is it going? How's everything down there? Yeah, Roy White was the guy who invited me and a couple other people down to the farm and to do the farm for an investigation. It was a hell of a time. It was a good time. And I had a lot of fun. So there are some stuff here that is conspiracies or what people think, what kind of sunk the Titanic. Well, some of these are crazy, okay? But some of them, I don't know. It's very possible if something was going on with it. So the first one is, did a supermoon help sink the Titanic? And people really think this. Texas State University researchers have a theory, a rare lunar event, the likes of which hadn't been seen in 1,400 years, created the hazardous conditions that sank the ship. Normally, the type of iceberg blamed for sinking the Titanic would not have floated south into the shipping lanes without melting a bit. The supermoon could have caused an unusually high tide. However, pulling the iceberg away from a Greenland glacier, at least that's the theory. It would have taken 3 months for the iceberg to float into the Titanic's path. So does it all come to a strange lunar Earth alignment on January 4th, 1912, which caused the accident? What do you guys think? Tell me. Roy White says it's going great, just around the head, just, okay. Russell Easterbrooks, thank you so much for coming on, sir. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. It's an honor to have you here, too. But a lunar, a supermoon, a superlunar something about sinking the ship. I don't know. What's your thoughts out there? Well, feel free to. Roy White says, follow the money. Yes, there's a lot of money going on with that, too. Hopefully, I can get to it before the end of the show. But like I was saying, during that time, J.P. Morgan, who didn't, was supposed to go on that boat ride, did not go at the last minute. And the people thinking, well, J.P. Morgan made a ton of money when the Titanic sunk. I guess he bought some insurance or whatever on it. And people are saying, well, that's how he started the Federal Reserve. Hey, good evening, Jamar. Good to see you. Thank you for coming in. So that's one of the conspiracies, if you want to talk about J.P. Morgan making a ton of money off the Titanic when it sank and throwing it into the Federal Reserve. You know, and there were some other people, hopefully I can get to them. I do want to get into the like things that people have thought what made them sink the Titanic, but that was a big one. And like my friend Roy White said, follow the money, and there was a lot of money that kind of like exchanged during that little mishap. So was it was it doomed to happen from the beginning? Who knows? But if money was involved, I wouldn't have doubted. So it's another one is, what happened to the passengers who survived but didn't disembark from the Carpathia? Now, this is pretty clear. This is kind of crazy. You know, I was reading this a couple times. And wait till I tell you about this. How many of the Titanic survivors boarded the RMS Carpathia, a rescue ship, but didn't disembark in New York? It isn't clear, but at least six survivors, all Chinese sailors, had to stay aboard under a U.S. law called the Chinese Exclusive Act. They were then transferred to a Cuba-bound ship and seemingly just vanished. A documentary team tried to track down the men, believing they moved first to the United Kingdom and then scattered abroad to Canada, India, and back to the U.S. But the details remain murky, even some close. Is that crazy? And no one knows where they're at. Chinese people, and they're more worried about the Chinese people and these six guys. Where did they go? Were they part of the sabotage? I think, to be honest with you, if I can give you my honest opinion on it, I believe it was sabotage. I believe it was doomed on its way out. Now, there's another thing going on too. Hey, Cindy Simpson, good to see you, hon. Welcome to the chat. And another thing too was, and I think, I don't know if I said it on Sunday or not, but the sister ship of the Titanic, I forget the name of it, but she was older than the Titanic, and a lot of people were saying that they actually switched ships, like somehow just painted over the name of, and put Titanic on it because they knew it was terrible. Brian says, LOL, was there room on the door for Leo? I'm just effing. Okay. Roland Powers. Hello, Roland. Good to see you, sir. Thank you for coming in tonight. But they, like I said, they claimed that there was the two ship switch. They just put the Titanic on the old one. Who knows? Who knows what happened back there? But again, back to follow the money, like Roy White said. Yeah, you know, maybe they did. Just, and the Federal Reserve. And Michael, if you're in here, if you're in the chat room, buddy, or anybody in here who knows anything, wasn't there a big, there was like a lot of expense, I agree with it being sabotaged. Thank you, Cindy, I appreciate it. I have no doubt in my mind. Excuse me. But I think there was some people wanted to go to the Federal Reserve, and the guys that actually took the cruise did not want the Federal Reserve to happen. But the ones that did not go at the last moment, they did wanted to go and start the Federal Reserve. Example, J.P. Morgan. And I've read Snoops.com, and I've read all kinds of other things, and it's just like, they swept all the ugliness under the carpet, you know. What was the big deal between, thank you, Michael, for coming in on it. The Federal Reserve, it is true. Thank you. All right, that is true. So that is, it's just craziness. And I think there were other situations, not so much with the Titanic, but there are other things, because there was a lot of people that did. Yeah, that's what I said. It wasn't even the real Titanic. No, it wasn't, sir. I think their sister ship or something like that. I know that I just have that feeling, you know, but if you go on the internet, they'll say there was no such thing that happened. That they didn't switch it, that was the real thing. See, I guess, and this is what, the 21st century here, and I guess we're a lot smarter than people thought back in 1912 and stuff like that. Yeah, it was its twin, definitely. I'm trying to think of the name. I think of the name. Now, they claim that the twin was in a dry dock in New York, so they're saying there's no way that other ship could have, you know, been switched, but I think it's a bunch of hogwash, man, a bunch of bullcrap. Now, you know, the Olympia. Thank you, Jamar. Appreciate it. Freighter Crow. The ocean isn't real. Don't let them fool you. Okay. To me, the ocean is like a totally different. Okay. Thank you, Jamar. I appreciate it. But the ocean isn't real. Don't let them fool you. Okay. The Olympia, Sebastian, my friend, said it was the Olympic. So the Olympia, Olympic, in between that name. But I do believe they were switched because the way the actual Titanic went down, there was a big ass fire going on down there, to keep the engines moving. British, I don't think so, Byron. I don't think it was a Britannia. But this captain supposedly wanted to break the record of getting from Southampton over into New York, so he just kept firing up, throwing coals, getting those engines, going. And from what I have read, they said that the fire was so hot down there that they actually saw slag on the rivets on the bottom of the ship, and what happened was they just melted, and there was a big fire below deck because the way the ship or the Titanic hit, whatever you think it is, hit, there's no way it just cracked in half like that. There was a lot of damage happening on the lower part. Brian, okay. Michelangelo says they refurbished it to look like it and collected big on it, of course. And I have no doubt in my mind, Michael, I do believe JP Morgan had a lot to do with that. I really do. Okay, now there's a strange case with a Norwegian sailing ship. The Norwegian sailing ship, the Samson, may have also been in the vicinity, but nothing is certain. Henrik Naas, the Samson's former first officer, told a Norwegian newspaper that his vessel was within sight of the Titanic, according to the Washington Post. The Samson may have been illegally seal hunting off of Newfoundland and was wary of being discovered with no radio aboard. The Samson couldn't check the level of distress aboard the Titanic. But why would a Norwegian ship be 1,000 miles from its Arctic hunting ground and nowhere near seals? Think about that. The story has confounded Titanic scholars for decades. So there were other ships around when the Titanic went down. And the dude said that, with no radio aboard. Tell me what ship never had a radio on board their ship? Of course they had to have one. There's no doubt about it. They probably shut the damn thing off. Or probably after the situation had happened, people went to this first captain or whatever he was, special passenger picked up in captain. Okay, the Olympic, right, Sebastian. But come on. Yeah. What ship doesn't have a radio? It's baffling. My. Russell Easterbrook says the steam engine exploded to break the ship in half. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Morse code, Michael Anthony says. True. But don't you need, I could see that, yeah, because, but wouldn't you still need to have like radio stuff to do Morse code? I don't know. Okay, and there's another big thing, and I do not understand why people are worried about the band that played as the ship went down. Okay, there's a big argument about it. So I'm going to read this little paragraph for you. What was the last song played by the Titanic band? Vera Dick, a first class Canadian passenger, said the final song was Hymn, Nearer My God to Thee. But ultimate Titanic maintained she was on a life raft some hours and 20 minutes before the musicians would have played their final melody. Apparently, the musicians stayed behind voluntarily, feeling it was their duty to keep calm passengers while lifeboats were loaded. Even if that's true, none of the band members lived to tell the tale. Passengers' accounts improved very greatly, and the Snoops, of course, Snoops, we know all about Snoops. Oh, Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that, brother. He said they taped on SOS. And Snoops, we know about Snoops. The fact-checking website has determined that the final song will remain an eternal mystery. What the hell? Who cares what the thing was, what music they play? Yeah, you know about Snoops, Brian. Everyone else I know knows about it. Sebastian Moran says, I'm going down by Bruce Springsteen. That's crazy. Now it says, what happened to the Titanic Captain Edward Smith before the ship sank? This is interesting. Captain Edward Smith reportedly appeared on the bridge at 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912 to ask what the Titanic had hit. First Officer William Murdoch replied, an iceberg, sir. What happened after that is less clear. Some survivors claim to have seen Smith commit suicide with a pistol, while others reported seeing him inside the wheelhouse of the bridge as the Titanic sank. According to author Win Craig Wade, Captain Smith had to at least have five different deaths, from heroic to shameful, and the rumors of his survival also circulate. Wonderful that continued to play. Okay. Thank you, Jamar. But you know what? So what Michael said earlier, saying that, you know, he could have gotten off by secret launch, or five different things on how this captain died. You know, so no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think it happens, always trust your gut. Trust your gut for this kind of stuff. Do I believe that the captain was assassinated? Yeah, not assassinated, but he did kill himself, you know? But there's more to that. I mean, there's more stuff that, you know, is coming up on the thing. And I'll continue reading. It's just pretty interesting. Okay. So, when the ship was built, okay, they submitted plans for 64 lifeboats, later reduced to 32 in 1910. A decision was made to reduce that further. Carlisle quit that same year, but was it over a dispute related to the lifeboats? Carlisle reportedly had a nervous breakdown and retired at 55, but the reason for his illness and departure remained a mystery. Captains always go down with shit. Yes, they do, Jamar. That's the truth. That's definitely the truth on it. Now, if the total amount of lifeboats for the Titanic were only 20 lifeboats. And the reason why they cut it down to 20 was they claim it's a luxury liner, and they wanted people to go out on the decks and look at the scenery, all kinds of good stuff, you know. And I'm like, okay, but you know damn right well that they only put 20 up there. And then if you want to really go deeper down the rabbit hole, you know for a fact that back then the ladies went first and the men hang behind. So before they even came to this decision, did they know that J.P. Morgan and his cronies were going to take this? Or did his cronies actually think, okay, we'll get these people who don't want the Federal Reserve and definitely go down? You know, so they won't be saved and die. Jamar says, so the first class had more luxury. True. But also, I believe, you know, the more I read into this stuff, the more I think about it, is that they kind of knew what was going to happen. And they just got rid of the people who were in their way in order to start this Federal Reserve. craziness. And here, why didn't anyone distribute binoculars to the crew? There was no binoculars. The guys who were on launch did not have binoculars. There was no way, if they had binoculars, I can guarantee it, they would have seen that iceberg. But they weren't distributed. Among the Titanic debris littering the ocean floor were binoculars that appear to have been stashed in a locker, but not distributed, according to the BBC. A sailor named David Blair was responsible for navigation equipment, but he was reassigned at the last minute and forgot to leave the key to the storage unit, leading to many questions, including why no one did a safety inspection to check the navigation equipment before the Titanic's departure. Why Blair was reassigned, why he kept the key, and whether the crash could have been averted if the crew had binoculars. You know, so the plot thickens. The plot thickens on that. Jamar says John Jacob Astor. Yes, the senior. Chooses to go down with the ship. And who was the founder of Macy's? Him and his wife went down too. I forget who they are. But it was all set up. A setup. You know, you can take all that, all the stuff that is happening today, and you can put it back in the 1912 or 1914, whatever. And it's still the same way. People play dirty. Crazy. Why did that dude get reassigned? You know, I'm sure it was a captain's idea to assign people to different things. You know, the more I'm telling you this, the more I'm thinking, okay, maybe they paid off the captain. Michael might definitely be right. Maybe he did jump the boat and got on, and he went to the Carpathia or somewhere like that, or to the Samson, who was the so-called sealing vessel, the sealing people, S-E-A-L-I-N-G. Roland Hussey Macy, okay. She survived. Here's another boat that was there, and they didn't do shit. Either. Okay, everyone's getting bored. But did the Californian let the Titanic sink? Captain Stanley Philip Lord was in charge of the SS California, which sailed close to the Titanic on April 14, 1912. His crew didn't react immediately to help in the rescue mission. However, why not? Initially, investigators decided the Californian many of the Titanic secrets still baffle investigators a century later. Did two other ships in the vicinity ignore the Titanic's distress call? How could a state-of-the-art luxury liner break in two before sinking? Why weren't there enough lifeboats? We dive into this drama, and a lot of drama it is. A lot of drama. Okay, so why did the Titanic split in two? When the wreck was found in 1985, investigators determined the 882-foot-long ship split before it sank. But why? No one really knows. Some scientists blame the hull's rivets, which contained a high concentration of slag, smelting residue that can make metal split apart. Others believe water poured in when the Titanic hit the iceberg, and that pressure separated each side of the boat. I don't believe that. A study reported in the Scientific American said the failure regained in the ship's bottom structure when it was at an angle of about 17 degrees, then spread across the breadth of the ship and upward, forming two separate pieces of the double bottom. Personally, I believe that fire caused that to break in half. Jamar said, Brian, whenever they were lighting up and they used coal to move those engines, to move the ships, and there was a lot of slag coming off of those fires. And Jamar says, you are thinking of Ida and Isidore Strauss. Okay, thank you. But so I believe with the slag, and I do believe that that's how it broke in half, to be honest with you guys. And I'm just taking that what I believe, what I feel will happen, And so, yeah, of course, the 20 lifeboats. Why were there only 20 lifeboats for thousands of passengers and crew? Of course. They claim they wanted to make it luxury. I believe it was a death trap, to be honest with you. Yes. The ship's 20 lifeboats could accommodate about 1,200 people. Just over half of the 2,223 or so aboard the Titanic. Certainly that meant with a legal obligation, but this was a luxury ship. Alexander Carlisle, general manager for the shipbuilding, William and Wolfe, he's the one that kind of like didn't want that to happen. And Jamar says they were the Macy folks that went down with the Titanic. And then, why did millionaire John Jacob Astor refuse to board a lifeboat? John Jacob Astor, 47, with a personal fortune of $150 million, was the wealthiest man aboard the Titanic. His group included his 18-year-old wife, Madeline, and servants seen to loiter. Astor apparently put his wife safely aboard the lifeboat. But Astor was denied boarding himself as it was women and children first. Astor did, however, reportedly have the opportunity to board Lifeboat 7, but choose not to for reasons that remain a mystery. His body was recovered a week later by the crew of the Macaw Bennett, and he was buried in the Trinity Cemetery in New York. Okay, we got a bunch of people since. Roy White, it would have been obvious if they didn't use any, they had to put some on there. Christopher James, anything would have broken half, Sean, because of the weight, gravity, and water involved. Thank you, Christopher, for that. I appreciate that. Jamar says, was for the second and third class. I don't know. I don't know. But, in this thing I have here, in front of me saying, why didn't Astor get aboard? The richest man on the ship. Sebastian Moran says, you're right, Sean. Someone wanted them dead. And people that survived had to watch what they said. That's going on today, Sebastian. It's disgusting. So, did Astor know that he was going to go down with this ship? I mean, with him being the richest man out there, is it possible they were trying to get him to go and put his money into the Federal Reserve? They probably threatened him. This is a theory of mine. And so Astor said, you know what? Nah, you ain't getting my money. I'm going down with the ship. That's the way I look at it. Okay. The more I read into this, the more it was one big cover-up for everything. Okay, we got some more stuff. All right, so we got some more stuff here. Okay, so in James Cameron's 1997 film Titanic, the White Star Line chairman Bruce Ismay is depicted urging Captain Smith to increase the speed to get into New York ahead of schedule and make the headlines. The scene was based on a genuine conversation overheard by first-class passenger and survivor Elizabeth Lindsay, who testified after the sinking. All first class were given first opportunity, agreed Sean. Thank you, Joe, agreed Sean Coverup. Her testimony suggests that Ismay wanted to beat a record set by the Titanic sister ship, the RMS Olympic, on her maiden voyage from Southampton to New York the year before. The Olympic set sail from Southampton on June 14, 1911, calling at Cherbourg, France, in Queenstown, Ireland, the same route as the Titanic before reaching New York 6 days later on June 21st that year. Mrs. Lyne said, I heard him, Ismay, make the statement, we will beat the Olympic and get into New York on Tuesday. However, Royal Museums Greenwich claims stories of the captain trying to make a speed record are without substance, despite the testimony from Mrs. Lyne. And another theory posted in 2004 by a U.S. engineer was that a smoldering coal fire in the depths of the Titanic meant that the ship had to get to New York faster than originally planned. And I guess it didn't work out because it never made it. But you got the Olympic a year before go the same route. Nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, the Titanic takes the rot a year later and gets sunk by the iceberg. Nah, it's a big cover-up. Definitely. Let's see what else we got here. Due to the threat of ice build, large and flat expanses of ice in the ocean, the warden, he's the dude that was the captain of the Californian for the night, late around 10:20 p.m. on April 14th, about 80 minutes before the Titanic hit the iceberg. At that time, California's position was logged as about 19 miles northeast of the Titanic. Although the British inquiry into the disaster later judged it was much closer than that, 6 miles away. So why didn't they go help? Why? Why did they not go and help the people off the Titanic? I mean, is it possible the captain of the Californians, just like those poor souls in that submersible? Yes, Joe, yes. They died going down and tried to see that. And to me, that's a little fishy about that one, too. Excuse the pun. But the ships were there. But they didn't lift a hand to help these people. Now, if you're, you know, you can go and say, well, I'm sure that the other people that didn't go kind of paid off the other captains of the ship or the companies. You know, and you might look at me and you may sound, Sean, you sounding ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I only, what I read is what I come up with my conclusions. You know, and they're my conclusions. And if you don't, that's okay. You know, but this is my, you know, this is what I think about it. The California was also closer than the RMS Carpathia, which heroically sailed 58 miles through the treacherous icy waters to rescue the Titanic survivors. Unfortunately, the Carpathia arrived 2 hours after the Titanic sank, but the California could have arrived before, so why didn't it? So here's some of the stuff right here, why it, you know, didn't get there early. Well, earlier that evening before Titanic's collision, the California's wireless operator, Cyril Firmstone Evans, had contacted the Titanic with an ice warning. The message was received by the Titanic's on-duty wireless operator, Jack Phillips, who told Evans to shut up because it was drowning out messages for passengers from Cape Race, a relay station 800 miles away. And then Cindy Simpson, if you're still in there, that light went off. I must be saying something right, you know, because, you know, they're kind of agree with me. See, there it goes again. Does everybody see my light? That's my ring light going on and off. Does anybody see it? It's going on and off. So I must be saying something right. Perhaps offended by the rude rebuke, Evan switched off his wireless equipment and went to bed so it couldn't receive the urgent radio messages from Titanic that followed. However, this doesn't account for why the Californian crew didn't investigate the flares that they saw being fired into the air, especially seeing as they knew the Titanic was nearby. With the flares, okay, you had red ones at the time that meant emergency, and the white ones were for people, for flares were for celebrations, parties, like some kind of stuff like that, you know. And so if they saw white flares, I guess they kind of figured that they weren't really in trouble. Okay, Kaysen says, hi, Sean. Is it true that the guys who tested the sailing eligibility of the ship gave it a score of an F, yet they put it in the ocean anyways? Yeah, I believe that, Kaysen. I don't know if it's true or not, but from what I have read, my hair's going up. Yeah, very possible. Oh, Joe Fox says yes. Cindy Simpson says, hello, Kaysen. And Cindy Simpson said, I see it again, Sean. You know, so I must be doing something right or saying something right, because my ring light keeps going on and on. Well, that's the best I could do for you guys about the Titanic mysteries. Okay. And I hope you enjoyed the last two shows about it. I'm sure they're, hey, Nicole, glad to meet you. Thank you for stopping in tonight. But I hope you could have learned a little bit. You know, there's probably more that needs to be investigated about it. But, you know, when it comes down, it was a big cover-up. So people could start, the rich people could start the Federal Reserve in the States, in America. And those people that died on that boat, You know, God rest their souls. There are probably a lot of them that had something to do with it not being Federal Reserve. But if anybody's out there, you know, we got like about 5 minutes left, 4 or 5 minutes left. And I'd like to know, see, there it goes again. I ain't touching that ring light. It's crazy. Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you, Cindy. Cindy, do you see this thing go on and off? There is no electrical problems happening in my house at all. Thank you, Nicole, for watching it again. Sebastian Moran says, the cabal are now in control. It's just crazy to realize that shit happened back then. And it just continued and continued and continued and continued up until today. Yeah. So my conclusion again, it was a cover up. And a lot of good people died. You know? So all we can do is take that and learn it from a lesson. You can start your own research on the whole thing and go from there. Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And go for there. Now, I'm sure I won't have another Titanic show for a long time, or until I get some more or find somebody that knows what they're talking about. But these are some of the stuff that I looked up online. And again, I want to thank the Castle Shannon Library and Castle Shannon PA for helping me out. And Cindy Simpson says, yes, I can clearly see it going off and on. But yes, I hope you enjoyed the show. And children, if you can, you know, please go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no parents, and if you don't have any children, find somebody and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long way. Good night, Casey, and thank you for stopping in. And before I sign out, I'm going to pull one card, one animal card. I haven't done it in a while. I'm sorry to hear that, Nicole. I wish she's... Nicole, wish she didn't have that. Now he's passed away from brain cancer. I'm so sorry about that. Always great to see you too, Joe. And my condolences, Nicole. Very much so. So I'm going to draw one animal medicine card. And if you want to know if this card fits you, I'm not doing the three. I'm just going to do the one. So you all know that the animal medicine cards, each animal that we meet has a certain place in our everyday passage. Good night, Cindy. Thank you. And the card I picked is the lizard. Okay. So what you need to do is go Google lizard animal totem and just read it and see if it pertains to you. And on that note, good night, everybody. I will see you next Sunday. And thank you for tuning in to Into the Night. I truly appreciate it.